I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. We're your destination for electrical products. Keep yourself safe and protected with new GFCI outlets from Legrand. They're available in a variety of finishes. Now at Menards, save big on all Legrand outlets and dimmer switches. View our entire selection of Legrand products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Can't even argue that, Moff. Like, did I just not have the best point of the week? What I just said to you in the break
made complete sense.
Thanks. Glad I got that right. I have to say, Duncan Robinson is just humiliating the Lakers tonight. He's just going off in this game, hitting shots. I mean, he's got 23. He's hit 6 3-pointers. Now, I just have to ask you, Mafia, seriously, like, have you ever once in this entire bubble, I'm not talking about just the finals, I'm talking about every single game, have you ever seen the Lakers not cry about a whistle? Have you ever seen them once accept the ref's call ever in a game the entire time they've been in Orlando?
Never once. Not in Orlando, not in LA, not wherever they were playing before the season broke down. They're all about, you know, working the refs. It's ridiculous. I mean, everybody in the NBA does it. They do it even more so, though.
I mean, it's not even close. I have never once seen them not complain about a call. Every single call, it doesn't matter how minuscule it is. It doesn't matter if a ball rolls off one of their own player's legs up from his hip down to his toes and rolls out of bounds. They will argue that it's not off of them. They will argue every single foul call, every loose ball, everything. They argue every call. It is unbelievable. It's so annoying. Like, they're better than the Heat. They're a better team. They got LeBron and Davis and the rest of the hacks, but they cry like I have never, and I have no bones in this. I'm just straight up. I have never seen a team cry more than this team in my life. I mean, I can't take it anymore.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all on the bench. So right now, it's a five-point game. Miami up 93-88, 8 minutes left. Davis at the line. Davis has, you know, in my view, now he's got 23. So he's hit a couple threes. He's had three blocks in this game. He just blocked Butler on a three-point attempt that led to a green three that got him within five. And now Davis gets fouled. And they're within four now, and if he makes the free throw, obviously they'll be down 93-90, and he made it off the front of the rim. It rolled
in. Danny Green hit a three?
He finally hit a three. So Green's hit two threes in the game. He's got 8 points. But the bottom line is LeBron's got 31-9-6, and AD's got 23-9-3 with three blocks. And then for Miami, the other way, it's been all Butler, 27, Robinson, 23. And I told you, everybody else has chipped in with double figures. Literally everyone. Nunn's got 11. Hero's got 10. Crowder's got 11. And Adebayo's got 11. So, but Butler, 27, 10, and 10, the triple-double. This is like his 40-point triple-double. He's got 27, 10, and 10. It's a four-point game with 7:25 left. So they missed a three, the Heat. And now the Lakers have the ball with a chance to make it a 2 or a 1 point game. And you get Caruso, a three and a corner brick. So I've been telling you, like, honestly, I got to look at Caruso's numbers from three. He's one of three from downtown. And he's got 3 points in the game in 19 minutes. He's one of four from the field. So I got a problem with him, actually, in my opinion, shooting the rock at all. In that situation, first of all, he can't hit the broadside of a barn to begin with. And I can't take it watching him shoot threes or Green anymore. And I'll give you, Caldwell and Green both have hit a couple of threes in the game. Davis has hit a couple. LeBron's hit 6 of 8 threes from downtown. 6 of 8. That is what's crazy. That's where he's having this big game, 33-10-6. So LeBron's laying it all on the line. He's left it all on the floor. He's doing it all. He's bent over, grabbing his shorts. What they need is Davis, as usual. That now he's got 25, and it's a three-point game. I've always told you, Mafia, it's a real simple formula for me for the Lakers to win a game. You get Davis over 30 and LeBron over 25, they're absolutely unbeatable. Absolutely, unequivocally, cannot be beaten if they do that. And they are on the precipice of that happening right now. If Davis takes over this game in the last 6.5 minutes, you know what I mean? Because he's scoring now at will. Now he's you know, got another one, and it's a 2-point game. So, you know, he's got 26 now. He needs to have a couple more buckets. Here's the Lakers crying again about a call. And I think they're going to get this call. They freak out on the refs. Every call, they freak out. And then when they get the call, they calm down. So they only, when they freak out and get their way, then they're nice. But they complain about every single call. It is the most aggravating thing I've ever sat through, is watching this team cry about every whistle. And then when it goes their way, then they're fine. As long as it goes their way, they're fine. But every call that goes against them, they have a conniption. The entire bench, Vogel, and all five on the floor freak out every single time. Pope hits a dagger three, and the Lakers have the lead now. They're up one with 6:18 left. So they've come back from all these big leads that Miami's had, and they've taken the lead on a Pope three. So that's his, I believe, I think I called it out before. I think that's his third. So now it is. He's 3 of 5 from downtown. Davis, 2 of 4 from downtown. LeBron, 6 of 8 from downtown. Green, 2 of 2 from downtown. Pope, 3 of 5 from downtown. Morris, 0 for 2. Kuzma, 0 for 4. And Rondo, 0 for 3. Caruso, 1 for 2. Now, here's the deal. Caruso's got 3. Rondo, 4. Kuzma, 7. Kuzma's 3 of 10 from the floor. He's a disaster. He really has been a disaster. Morris, 0 for 2. Now, they'll tell you Morris has been great. He's, you know, 12 points on the season, 7 points tonight. And in the last 10 games, he's been averaging 13 points. So, and against Miami, he's averaged 7. So, they've only played, this is the 5th game. So, bottom line is, he plays well against everybody, averages about 13 in the postseason, but not against this team. Against this team, he's right on the number, which is 7. And if you ask me, when you score 13 a night and you're double figures every time you play and you get held to 7 and you're 3 of 10 from the floor, bottom line is, you coiffed. You suck. Bottom line is, you didn't get it done. And every time I saw him out there, he was sloppy. So, and fouling and whatever. But with the lead that Miami had in this game, off, they've just literally, they had this game, without a doubt, they had this game in their grasp, and they still do. There's 6 minutes left. They could still win this game. They're down 1. It's meaningless, a 1-point game. But they've lost the lead. They had the big lead. They had a 9-point lead, whatever it was. They had an 11-point lead. And then it's all evaporated. And it, I think a lot of that stems from Davis blocking a Butler 3. They've scored every point since. And, you know, defense is going to win this game at the end of the day. At these last 6 minutes, it's about stops. And who can handle the pressure of the moment in a game 5 closeout game, the stress and pressure of hitting a, you know, a 3 is just disastrous, trying to hit that 3 with that kind of stress and pressure and a guy all over you with his hand in your face. But those mid-range shots are hard to knock down, and you definitely don't want to be the guy that shoots bricks, and you definitely don't want to be the guy that turns the ball over in the offense, you know, make a bad pass, make a mistake, you know, anything at all that you could be blamed for in the last 6 minutes of this game. Because right now, the Lakers have the title in their grasp. They can smell it. They're, you know, they're circling the boat. They threw out the carcass, and the sharks are feeding right now. You can tell that they're in the moment. They can sniff it, that they have a chance to, you know, finish this off and win the championship. And believe me, they don't care about the 7-point spread. They just want to win. If they just can win this game, it's over and they're champs for the 17th time, and LeBron for the 4th time, and Davis for the 1st time. So believe me, they know what's at stake right now with a 1-point lead. Do you think they'll close it out and get it done, Moff?
Yeah, I do. Now they got this lead. They have all the momentum going in their favor. I know you had a timeout to try to break it up, but I think the key here was, you know, as you said, you have to get LeBron and AD both going. And for a long time, it was just LeBron, you know, through most of the second quarter, all of the third, you know, to the beginning of the fourth. It was just LeBron doing everything because no one else was stepping up. No one else was mattering. And now all of a sudden AD came alive in this fourth. And now that he's going and he's hitting everything he wants, you're dead in the water to me. You know, if that guy can just light you up and he can just hit all these threes, and LeBron's hitting just about every 3 he shoots. I mean, I saw it before when it was like, when he had 33 points, he was like 14 of 16 or something like that, some ridiculous stat for, you know, his complete field goal percentage. When he's that on, and now all of a sudden Davis is alive and awoken, you're dead. You know, you can't beat those two guys when they're at their peak, their prime. I don't know if it's what got him going, whether it was LeBron saying something to him in the huddle or what, but now all of a sudden AD decided to get more aggressive again. And if you have them both shooting like that, there's nothing you can do.
They just had Green shot an air ball on a 3, an absolute brick air ball. Then the Heat go down, and Butler turns it over. LeBron's on the floor on his back, grabs the ball, gives it to Kuzma. Kuzma throws it up the floor, and they get a dunk out of it. And now they're up 3 with 5:10 and counting to go. And I have to say, what I'm noticing right now is Pope's playing great defense on Robinson, and Robinson just elbowed Pope in the face. And now he's arguing with the refs. He might get teched up, but I have to see this. Because the Oh my God, the flop that Pope just pulled off. The flop that Pope just, you have to see it to believe it. He got touched on his lip. He literally got touched like a fly landed on his lip, and he fell over like he'd been shot with a 12 gauge. And they fell for it and gave Robinson the foul, and the Lakers got the ball. What a horrible call that was. That was a complete phony flop. Ball don't lie. They shot a brick at the other end, and the Heat get the ball back. That was an absolute terrible call by the refs. Per usual, falling for the Oscar-winning performance by Pope. He barely got touched.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I thought Pope was playing great defense on Robinson. Robinson got free. Butler got him the rock, and he hit another three. But it was Caruso that ran into Pope when he was trying to guard Robinson. Caruso set the screen on his own man to keep him from getting in Robinson's face on the open three look that gave him the lead. And now LeBron gets fouled at the other end and ties it up by hitting both free throws. So under 3 minutes now and rolling. And this game is just absolutely kick-ass. It's the best game, Mafia, of the finals, without a doubt. This is the closest game, the best game. And not only that, but it's, like, really chippy right now. Like, they're getting really physical, and there's acting going on, Oscar-winning performances. Also, players are talking smack. Butler's talking smack. LeBron's talking smack. Everybody's getting into it now. It's getting really tight and really intense and really stressful, and Pope misses a three. So there you go. And I keep telling you, who wants to hit that big shot? Who wants to make that big dagger three? And the pressure of those shots, he was wide open all by himself on the wing, nobody around him. It's like a practice shot, at practice, like literally an easy three that he could make a million times. But in a game with pressure and stress, with under 3 minutes to go, he bricked. Just like Danny Green, brick. One brick after the next. And for me, it's the wrong guy shooting. They keep letting Caruso and Pope and Green shoot. And they're the ones that are missing all the shots that are going to cost him this game.
Right. And if you look at all of them, they're all off the screen where they get, the one, two, three screens, whatever it is, until all of a sudden those guys start doubling LeBron because they don't want him to shoot another three with him being 6'8" from out there. And those guys are wide open, which, okay, you want to do that play, fine, but do it with AD. Make him set the screen so that he's out there to shoot the three. I don't want these other guys shooting it. They're bricking like crazy, like you said. Or do it where it's, a real pick and roll, and LeBron drives a little bit to the basket, and then maybe you get AD for a pop of the elbow, or one of these other guys, for Morris, for a pop of the elbow, instead of everyone just jacking a three every shot. Like, get inside. You're obviously not hitting them well. Move in a little bit. Take a couple steps in.
So LeBron just did that and got in and got fouled and made the and one, and they lead by one with a minute and a half left and rolling. So it's every single trip down now is stressful and pressurized, and you just freak out watching it. Like, these are the moments that it'll make a man out of you. This is the game is on the line now, no questions asked. And Butler just putting on a move on just absolutely using Morris. I mean, like a dish rag. He used him right there. Now Miami by one with a minute left. And Butler's guarding LeBron. Butler and LeBron just attacking the rim and makes the bucket, no foul. and the Lakers by one, under a minute. I mean, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. But you know what's impressive is the Heat are really the story, that they're not afraid of them and that they came in and attacked and went for it and played their asses off. And as far as I'm concerned, you got to be honest here, Mafia. They deserve this game. They should. I mean, honestly, they played their asses off tonight. Like, they literally left everything out there and they have gone to the hole. They have done everything. They got physical. They did. They battled. They've, you know, they haven't been crying to the refs like the Lakers have all night. Like, the whole series, the Lakers have been crying, and they have just balled out and they have taken the Lakers to the limit, absolutely to the hilt. And, you know, it would be a shame if you ask me, because this is a 1-point Laker lead right now with 46 seconds left. It'd be a shame if they lost this game by one. You know what I mean? Like, the way they played, you almost want them to win the game to force a game six on Sunday. Otherwise, basketball ends tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, it's been an absolutely incredible game. This is the series that we wanted the whole time. This is what people expected from the Heat with the way they performed the first couple series here in the playoffs to get to this point. You thought this is the scrappy, you know, never say die, do whatever we can to win team that we're going to get. And unfortunately, it hasn't been like that for most of the games. They won the one, the other ones, you know, even though at times it wasn't like blowouts, like the last game was only six, you still never felt like the Lakers were ever, you know, not in control of the game. You know, they were always had it right where they wanted to be for the most part. So this is the first one where they're really, even more so than the loss, like, threatened and challenged, and the Heat are just not relenting. They're not going down. And Butler, he just looks exhausted from carrying them. The way that he's had to play this game and the other one that they won, he just looked after that play when he was kind of, you know, sitting there at the bottom of the basket after they called the foul and he was going back for the free throws. He looks gassed because he's just putting everything on his back.
Yeah, he's got 31, 11 of 19 from the floor, 12 boards, 11 dimes, 5 steals. Like, that's just crazy. But LeBron's got 40, 13 boards, 7 dimes, and has done all of that with one foul. And he's been scoring at will down here and getting them all their buckets late in this game. Because, as I said before, nobody else on the Lakers can hit the broadside of a barn. No one. Not one guy can hit a shot. So it's really all about LeBron James right now and Jimmy Butler. It's those two putting on a show, and there's 46 seconds left. The Lakers lead by one, but both teams have one timeout left. That's it. And we'll see what happens here. I still want to talk about college football for tomorrow before we get out of here. So I just want to see the end of this. I'm not going to do the if the Lakers win, I'm not going to do the proverbial post-game celebratory show where we just analyze everything that they've done. They're either going to win it or they aren't. And when they win it, they'll be champs for the 17th time. And I'm sure I'll respond to seeing them get trophies and everything else. But I do want to talk about college football before I get out of here. Now, Butler ties it up and now we'll take the lead, and the Heat are up one. So 45 seconds left and rolling, and Miami's got the lead by one. Like I said, it'd be a shame to see them lose by one. Or two, you know, like by a point or a bucket. That would suck because they played so hard. And they're trying to double LeBron. They got they got Butler on him, but they got the help. Iggy on the help side. And then, Pope takes a horrible shot and misses. Davis gets the brick rebound before the shot clock goes off and puts it in. And the Lakers get the lead. Pope again with a brick. He shot an air ball. Davis caught it, shot it, and I think he got it off in time, and it counts, and they're up 108-107. There's no doubt that bucket counts. I saw it. He got rid of it before that light went off. So I think they're going to give him the bucket without a doubt. But once again, it's just the same story. LeBron has nothing, no choice but to pass it, and he gives it to Pope, who shoots an absolute airball brick. And I've been telling you, Pope's been bricking him. Caruso's been breaking them. Green, I've seen Pope and Green both shoot an air ball in the last 3 minutes from three. Both are getting paid millions and they're shooting air balls. Neither one of them can hit a clutch shot. They can only hit threes when it doesn't matter. That's just all there is to it. You've seen it, Mafia. I'm not making this stuff up. Like, and the numbers lie because Green's 2 of 4 from downtown, right? But I saw him shoot the air ball and the brick. So I saw his two misses. And then when it comes to Pope, he's 3 of 8 from downtown. And I just saw him shoot two bricks. One clanked off the rim, and the second one was a complete air ball. He's got 16 in the game, but let's not kid ourselves. It's LeBron with 40 and Davis with 28. if Davis were to get one more bucket and have 30, which I told you, if he has 30 and LeBron has 25, they never lose. Ever. So if he scores again and they lose, I'll keel over. Because then he'd have 30 and LeBron would have 40. But anything could happen. Miami's only down one. 21 seconds left. They can go down and get the last shot and win the game right here. They don't have to mess around. But would you do that, Mafia, or would you shoot quick in case you don't make it and foul them so you can get the ball again?
Yeah, I think they're going to probably run the clock down, maybe get it to like 10, and then go ISO there, probably with Butler, try to have him make a move. So that he'll do it with a couple seconds left, maybe three or four, and then they can try to get a rebound. But you don't want to leave them much time at all if you're Miami trying to give, you know, L.A. They still have a timeout, so they can advance the ball on the timeout.
No,
so
they're going for it right now. He went for it right now and got fouled. Davis fouled him. They went right away because they need time in case they miss. Now he can make both free throws and go up one, and there's still 16 seconds left. You know, the Lakers can go down and do whatever they want. The Lakers could get the last shot now.
That's risky. That's like giving Tom Brady time.
They called the foul on Davis. He clearly fouled him, and they still complained about it. They complained about every single whistle. The Lakers have never committed a foul in their lives. Not one ever. I have never seen a team, honestly. Every single whistle, like the guy just hammered the crap out of him, and he complained about the call. Like,
yeah,
they complained about every
foul,
single
he jumped
call.
Into him.
Every single call completely. They complained about. That's a foul.
That is
that's
absolutely
a foul. Are you kidding me? That you can't even argue that. You cannot in a million years convince me that wasn't a foul. So there you go. Miami leads by one now with 16 left and a timeout. All Miami needs is one stop. And all LA needs is one bucket to win the game. So it's really come down to one possession. And now there's no timeouts left. So this is it. No, both teams have none left. So this is the last
LeBron
time we're going to have to
test
this.
Anybody outside of Davis. Davis or him is the only two people that should be taking this shot.
They cannot give it to anyone else but LeBron or Davis. There's no other choice because no one else on the team can make a shot. I wouldn't trust any of them. Morris, none of them. Not in crunch time, not in, there's no time left, and you give a guy the shot now. Watch, he'll give it to Pope, and he'll hit a three dagger to win it, but I don't see it. Not the way I just saw him shooting air balls and clanking shots off the rim. It's crazy. This is a crazy end of this game, no doubt about it. I got to tell you, like, if I have my druthers, I want to see a game Sunday. So I hope they miss. I just want to see another game. This was a great game. I want to see the same thing again on Sunday. I don't want this to end right now. So you're going to miss me on the end of this game because I got a break. But we'll come back and I'll try to get in some of these college football snags for Saturday. All the games that are going to be played all day. There's some kick-ass games, so we'll go through some of that. And I'll tell you what happened in this Laker game. All right, so the Heat won the game, and it was unbelievable. Did I call that, Mafia, or what? So when I was on before the break, I said, the last thing they can do is let Danny Green or Pope or Morris shoot the ball. The last thing they want to do is give it to one of those three hacks. And sure enough, LeBron got the ball, drove down to the baseline, turned around, threw it back to Green, and he shot an absolute cement ball. He shot a medicine ball at the rim. What a brick that was from three, straight out three, just clanked it off the front of the rim. He barely made the rim. It was such an air ball. And then they got the rebound. Morris got the rebound, and he's another hack. He turned around and threw it out of bounds. He tried to throw it to Davis down low, but the Heat had him all wrapped up, and Morris threw it over his head out of bounds. And then they got the inbounds, and Hero got fouled, made the free throws, and Miami wins it 111-108. So Sunday night at 7:30 on ABC will be game six. And right now, that's just a stunning win for the Heat. I'm glad they won so that we can watch another game on Sunday night after you're done watching NFL Pain Day football all day. But that's a gigantic win for the Heat. I thought for sure the Lakers would win that game tonight. I thought they'd be drinking champagne tonight without a doubt. And I never once even flinched that they would get it done, but they didn't. They got their ass beat. I mean, that is unbelievable. Like the whole game, Miami was in charge of this whole game. And then the Lakers got the lead late. And then Miami still took it from them. They still outworked them. They still made better plays. They made the shots. They got better looks. Jimmy Butler used the Lakers with some of his moves. You cannot deny. I mean, that was a legendary game that Jimmy Butler, once again, it was a lot like his, you know, 40-point triple-double. This time he had 35, 12, and 11. He had another triple-double, so he had a 40-point triple-double and a 35-point triple-double in the finals. That's just absolute craziness. And, you know, they're talking about in this game, after the game, they're showing Davis getting hurt, showing his heel, showing him limping. And it's all about the Lakers always. It's always about the Lakers. Everything's about the Lakers. The calls, the whistles, the replays, everything. But what they should be showing is this. Robinson daggering threes the whole night. And Butler hitting huge buckets. And then the defense that they played on LeBron late and Davis, they wouldn't allow him any kind of room or space or good looks. And LeBron had to kick it out to Green, who's a hack, and he shoots nothing but bricks. And that's it. I have been saying over and over on Coast to Coast and Varela on the Bench for as long as they've been in the bubble that I cannot bear to watch any of those guys, Caruso, Green, Pope, Kuzma, and Morris. Now, I'll give you Morris. I got to give you that he can hit some threes, right? But and he has hit a bunch of threes for him. And I trust him shooting more than the other ones. And he bangs. He's physical. He, you know, plays at both ends. He's a tough guy. I'll give him that. I like him a lot better than the other ones. But I think they're all hacks at the end of the day. I really do. This team's about LeBron and Davis. And, you know, when he has 40, the other guy has 28. They win every time. They win every time that guy has 30. But not this time. And he didn't have 30. He had 28. So at the end of the day, Morris threw the ball away and Green shot an absolute clunking brick like a medicine ball. He shot it at the rim. And that's why they lost. Pope was bricking. Pope was airballing. Green was bricking. And then he shot another brick to win the game. That was a game-winning three, and it was an absolute medicine ball. And that was it. So it's the same thing I've been telling you for weeks. Those hacks on that team, the rest of them, I wouldn't trust any of them to shoot the ball ever. Before we went to the break, I said, I wouldn't trust any of those guys to shoot. It's got to be LeBron or Davis. No other choice. If they give it to Green, they'll lose the game. Sure enough, they gave it to Green, and they lost the game. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, and you also jinxed him, you know, because you just mentioned it again. He said, Anthony Davis gets 30, you win. Anthony Davis gets 30, you win. So obviously Morris looked up at the scoreboard, so he only had 28. Said, I got to give him those 2 points. Pharrell said he needs 30, so he tried to drop it in there and threw it out of bounds like a bum, especially because you look at the play. Obviously, you know, and in the thick of it in the moment, it's hard to say, you know, which way you go. We could critique him all we want afterwards. Like, when you're in that play, it's tough. But 2 seconds left, he has. When he gets that rebound, right behind him is Green standing there wide open again if he wants to shoot another brick. Or across on the other side of the key is LeBron James, who's hit 6 of 8 wide open for a three. And he tries to throw it into Davis with 3 guys around him, and he throws it out of bounds, doesn't even give him a chance to catch it.
Yeah, I thought Morris freaked out in the moment. Like, he had the ball, and he had 5 seconds left, and I don't know. There was no shot clock problem. This was about just freaking out with 4 seconds left in the game. He freaked out. He threw the ball out of bounds. So he didn't even get a shot for anybody. All he had to do was give it to somebody to take a shot. They had to get a shot. They were down one, and instead they foul and they lose by 3. Bottom line is he couldn't find anyone open. He had, like you said, Green standing right next to him. I would have no more given it to Green than fly a kite. I think Morris knew, I'm not giving it to you. You shoot nothing but bricks. I'm telling you, if they keep that guy in the offseason, I will laugh. I mean, I have never seen a guy miss more shots in my life than Danny Green, honestly. And you know what? I'm not nice. And I'm done with all this like, oh, Danny Green's been a champion. He's this, he's that. Danny Green, I mean, I play with guys that can shoot better than Danny Green. He's making millions. and he can't hit the broadside of a barn. I don't care what anybody says. Every time I watch him, it gets worse. All you have to do is watch the end of that game tonight. Watch the fourth quarter. He was shooting bricks left and right, and so was Pope. Pope hit a couple shots, but when it mattered most, his last two threes were both bricks. The one on the wing and then the other one on the opposite wing was an air ball that Davis caught and put back in for a bucket. So don't tell me that Pope can shoot either, because he's a mess. What was he, 3 of 8 from downtown? I mean, that's Brick City, if you ask me. All right, there you go. So Sunday night, you'll have game 6. Miami stays alive. Tomorrow, you got a ton of games in the ACC and SEC of significance. Florida State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's laying 21. I've seen 21.5 and blah, blah, blah. But Florida State's been awful. They won against Jacksonville State. That's about the only school they can beat, Jacksonville State. And they were losing that game, too. So I like Notre Dame there. Florida's playing at A&M, at Kyle Field in College Station. Florida's laying 5. That's a tough way to make a living where you're laying points at Kyle Field against A&M. I don't care if Jimbo Fisher's coaching. I don't care who the coach is. You play there, you got your hands full. So I went with Florida, but I got A&M at 6.5 when it opened up, and it moved to 5 immediately because everybody pounced on that number. I think A&M will cover, and I middled that game. Georgia, and I'm just kind of bouncing around right now in terms of SEC and ACC games. That Georgia game with Tennessee, Georgia's laying 12.5 now. It was 14 before. I like it a lot better at 12.5 against Tennessee. The last, I think, 3 times they played him, they averaged 40-point wins for Georgia. I don't think this Georgia team, to be honest with you, is capable of blowing Tennessee out by 40. I really don't. There are 3 quarterbacks that they're using, all these different guys that they're using. I don't actually think it's that fascinating seeing them play. So I think Georgia is better than Tennessee, but I don't think they're blowout better. I don't see them rocking them like they have the last 3 times they played them or whatever it is. So I'm dangerously laying that 12. And a hook against Tennessee. I'm not feeling real confident about it at all. So as far as the other ones, Virginia Tech and North Carolina in Chapel Hill. North Carolina's laying 3. Originally, when it opened up, I got Vatech at 5, so I middled it. I have North Carolina winning, but I'll take the 5 with Vatech. At 3, I think that's what they're going to win by. I think North Carolina's going to win by a field goal, and it'll push. LSU, Missouri, that game moved from Baton Rouge to Columbia. They're playing in Columbia at Folsom Field. I still think LSU will beat them. The line is 14, and I was willing to do it with LSU. Originally, it was 19.5. I was willing to lay it at 19.5 when it was at Baton Rouge. So I'll stick with the 14 and lay it. I still think LSU is better than Missouri. And Miles Brennan played a lot better last week than he did the week before when they got beat by Mississippi State. Texas, Oklahoma, and the Red River. This one has Oklahoma favored by 3. I took Texas and the 3. Oklahoma, how many games they got to lose before people stop favoring them in games? You know, you lose to Iowa State, you lose to Kansas State, and you lost the Kansas State game in Norman. You lose in Ames, and now you're favored again? I mean, what's next? You're going to tell me they should be in the college football playoff with their 2 fat L's? Yeah, I'm on Texas, even though I don't think Texas is that good either. And you can quote me on that. And NC State, Virginia. Virginia's laying 7. I like Virginia. It originally was 9.5, and I was laying that. So that number's moved a lot. South Carolina and Vandy. South Carolina's laying 13.5. I got it at 12 when it opened. I like South Carolina there. Duke and Syracuse. I like Cuse getting 1. I got it at 1.5 at the Carrier Dome. Army and Citadel. Army's laying, it was originally 30 and a hook. Now it's 29 and a hook. I took Citadel with the 30 and a hook, but I like Army to win. BYU's ranked 15th in the country. They're laying 34.5 to Texas San Antonio. I think Texas San Antonio covers the number. BYU wins the game. And then Iowa State and Texas Tech, They're laying, originally it was 13.5. Texas Tech was grabbing at Ames. I took the 13.5. Iowa State wins. Now it's 11.5. I think Iowa State wins. Texas Tech covers. And Arkansas State, Central Arkansas. I'm taking the 15.5 with Central Arkansas on the spread side. I think Ark State wins it. Troy, I laid 7 against Texas State. Auburn, I laid the points. It's 14 against Arkansas at Auburn. Auburn always kicks their ass when they play them at Auburn. BC and Pitt. I took BC in the 6.5. Everybody's on Pitt in that game. I guess they're buying into Pitt at 3-1. And then BC at home at Chestnut Hill, 2-1. We'll see what happens. TCU and K-State. TCU, I like to win. I got 10, though, with K-State. I think it'll be a good game in Fort Worth. And then Florida International laying 6. I laid the 5.5 in that game against Middle Tennessee. Temple and Navy. Let's see. Temple, Navy. Temple's laying 3.5. I got it laying 2.5. I like Temple there. South Florida laying 6. I got it at 4. It moved to 6 against East Carolina. I like Central Florida. Clemson and Miami. I like Clemson to win. Miami to cover the. It's 15 now. I got it at 16. I like Bama to roll, laying 23 against Ole Miss. I took, Louisiana Tech. I laid the points against UTEP. It's 14. Marshall, I took laying 5.5. It's now 7 against Western Kentucky. And Mississippi State, I took over getting the points, getting 3 from Kentucky. I took Mississippi State and Charlotte, North Texas. I took Charlotte and laid the 3. So there you go, Mafia. I got in all of the college football for everybody before the show ends on a pain-free Friday. We got to see a crazy Rays win over the Yankees, a crazy Miami Heat win over the Lakers, forcing Game 6 on Sunday night on ABC at 7:30. LeBron and Davis and all the Lakers in their Mamba jerseys and Mamba uniforms. They never lose in the Kobe's. Well, they lost tonight in the Kobe's, as Jimmy Butler gets it done with a 35-point triple-double to go with his 40-point triple-double. Check out. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. Sports Rage is up next with Morency. What did you think of that Heat win? And I think Danny Green is just an absolute brick mortar. That medicine ball he shot to win the game and his other bricks. And how about Pope with the air ball on the wing and then his other clanker off the rim? Neither one of those guys can shoot, and Morris threw the ball away. I mean, when are they going to learn they can't give these hacks the ball late in the game because none of them can make a shot?
Yeah, Danny Green had an opportunity to be a big-time hero and win back-to-back NBA titles and not just be along for the ride by hitting this shot. Falls short, but to me, Scotty, once again, and, you know, I've been pumping up LeBron's tires, actually, throughout the week and leading into tonight, and I haven't over the years. I've been more of a critic. And there was an opportunity for him tonight, Scotty. You know, no pressure. You know, you lose. It's you're only down 3-2. You've got the ball. You've gone back and forth with Jimmy Butler. I mean, LeBron just said, get the hell out of my way to everybody, and he took over late. And that, you know, that's your time. That's your time. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Oh, it was a smart basketball play, but be aggressive. Don't put yourself in the position that you did and give the ball up. And then it leads to that sequence of events, and I'm not going to disagree. Morris throws it away. Green tosses up a brick, but let's be real, man. You know, the basketball never should have been anywhere near Morris at that time of the game. LeBron's got to finish that off. It was such a masterpiece, but he didn't finish it off, Scotty, and now we got a series, bro.
Now we got Sunday night game 6, and I'm glad we got another game, because that would have been a shame if the Heat lost that way after dominating basically the whole game and leading the whole game and then blowing the lead. But now we got a game on Sunday night. It should be awesome. Rays with a big win over the Yankees. College football day tomorrow. A lot of NFL on Sunday. Morency, have a great weekend. Mafia, great job. I'll see you guys Monday on Coast to Coast. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Good night.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.